Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we, the hearers of your word, pray that we will follow the example of Jesus and Stephen when we are insulted, when we are mocked, when we are antagonized, and when we suffer. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is risen. Slumdog Millionaire is a movie about a Mumbai teen who grew up in the slums of India. It was a shocking look at a grim reality in India. It was a shocking look, to say the least. I can't think of a worse scenario for a child. This little boy named Jamal saw his mother was murdered by a religious group. He literally grew up on a trash heap, and bad people continually hurt him and used him throughout his life. If anyone had a right to become bitter and violent, it was Jamal. And yet, through it all, he stayed hopeful and told the truth, even when it meant he could lose what little he had. It's one of those movies that changes you and helps you realize how truly fortunate we are in our circumstances. And it is a great example of what we are talking about today. I feel pretty safe in saying that most of us here have never experienced the type of injustice that Jamal did. But have you ever been in a situation where you feel that you were treated unfairly? Have you ever experienced that kind of thing? Have you ever found yourself in a position where the powers above you were oppressive and you felt totally powerless? Totally powerless to do anything about it? Perhaps you have been overlooked for a promotion simply because the boss didn't like you. Maybe a coach or a teacher doesn't like you, and you have been boxed out of the in crowd or kept off the starting team. Perhaps you have been abused because you were different from the majority. Maybe you find yourself in an abusive situation with your parents or in a difficult marriage. It doesn't seem fair, does it? At times, things like this can make us feel completely hopeless. And what do you want to do to the person or to the group that unfairly treated you? And let's be honest, you feel like punching them in the nose. You want to make them suffer for the pain they inflicted on you and the deeper pain they caused. The deeper the pain, you want to throw back at them. We really don't want to get even, do we, folks? We want to get a little bit ahead. In our text for today, we're going to deal with this issue as we continue our study of 1 Peter and our theme, Set Apart for a Living Hope. And today's theme, Suffering for Doing Good. The lectionary reading for today starts with verse 19. But if we are really going to do justice to really understand this reading from 1 Peter, then we need to widen the scope just a little bit and go back to just one verse, to verse 18. And the first word of verse 18 starts out, slaves. And bam! That word hits you right between the eyes. When we really look at the text, we see that Peter is directly speaking to people who are dealing with the ultimate form of oppressive power and unjust treatment. These people are literally slaves. They are human beings who are owned by another human being. In the midst of their seemingly hopeless situation, Peter tells them how to have hope. I can't think of a more desperate situation than being a slave. Now, I think it would be safe to say that none of us in this room are slaves. Now, some of you children might disagree, but I think I'm safe with this assumption. So we might think that this passage has nothing to say to us. After all, we are not slaves. I think it does, though. All of us have experienced some kind of injustice at one point or another. All of us have been mistreated by someone more powerful than us, or ostracized by a group of people for some reason or another. In order to understand 1 Peter, I have to understand the situation that Peter's church found itself in. Look how Peter identifies them back in chapter 2, verse 11. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles." Aliens and exiles. And let's be clear here, I'm not talking about aliens from X-File. That's something completely different. It's aliens and exiles. Peter's people were foreigners and outcasts. They were Jews who followed Jesus in a Roman world. They were getting heat from every direction. Their Jewish relatives had ostracized them for following this heretic named Jesus from Nazareth. The Roman government was becoming increasingly antagonistic toward this new religious group, because they would not bow down to Caesar as Lord. They did not believe in the gospel of Caesar. They did not believe that Caesar had brought peace on earth through their empire. They bowed only to this stranger named Jesus, whom Pilate had crucified. Not only that, they were predominantly people from the lower rungs of the class system. To understand today's text, we really need to take a look all the way from chapter 2, verse 11, all the way to chapter 3, verse 7. The first two groups he addresses are the slaves and the wives in chapter 3, verse 1. Back then, those were the bottom. Slaves were owned by masters, and wives were essentially owned by their husbands. So how do you have hope in such a desperate situation? How do you follow Jesus when people treat you badly and you really want to punch them in the face. Well, let's look at what Peter tells them. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. In this context, I think the desire he wants them to abstain from is from punching them in the face. He tells them to not become violent in revolt against those powers. And he continues with some really shocking words in verse 12. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or as governors, as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. Now, wait a minute. Isn't this the same institution that is oppressing them? I guess I should put a huge warning label on this sermon right now. Because for centuries, this passage has been misused by the church to promote slavery and to promote a male-dominated church structure. But what I am about to say is very crucial. Peter is not condoning slavery or male chauvinism. He is simply giving wise advice to people who are in a very hopeless situation. We'll see how this plays out. And here's the heart of the message in verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing right you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. You see, the end goal is to actually change the perspective of the oppressive system. But we have to do it in the way that Jesus would do it, not the way we would want to do it. Here's another key verse in 16. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. In other words, Peter is saying in so many words to the slaves and to the wives, look, you know you are free and that in God's eyes you are equal. Jesus has set you free from sin and from the powers of the world. You know that. I know that. God knows that. But they don't know it yet. So let's take this nice and slow, shall we? With this context, now we can see that what Peter is really saying in this text. In verse 18, he goes on, slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. Now, I have to be honest with you here. I am not real happy with the NIV translation here. It says, in verse 19, it is a credit to you. And then in verse 20, it says, you have God's approval. In this translation, it sounds like we will earn God's approval if we let our master beat the snot out of us. That's weird, because in the Greek, the word translated credit in verse 19 and approval in verse 20 is the very same word, charis, which everywhere else in the Bible is translated grace. This time, I think the English Standard Version actually does a better job of translation. Verse 19 should read, "For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God." What good would it do if the slave reaches up and grabs the whip and starts beating his master with it? Yes, it might make the slave feel good at that moment, but then the slave has become the abuser. What good does it do when Americans party in the streets when the enemy is shot? Is that any different from the video of Bin Laden partying when the Twin Towers fell? What good does it do when the jilted lover or the overlooked worker posts hateful words and things on Facebook, or slanders someone's name, or slashes their tires, or hurts them in any way? Peter's instructions don't make sense to us. They seem so unfair and unjust. I mean, where is he getting this from? Is he a masochist? Look what he says in verse 21. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have been returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." We live like this because Jesus did. If anyone had a right to fight back, it was Jesus. If anyone had freedom and power to bring about vindication and justice on his oppressors, it was Jesus. He could have called down the fire of heaven and nuked every last one of them. But that isn't how God's kingdom works. Jesus showed us the better way. Sometimes it is better to appear weak and even lose an argument or your rightful place in society in order to show the love of God. There's a woman named Vivian Jenkins Nelson who spoke at a Senate assembly meeting. She is an African-American woman who grew up in the South and the daughter of a Lutheran pastor. Her father worked very closely with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. during the Civil Rights Movement. One day when she was 18 years old, she was in a room with a small group of people, one of whom was Dr. King. They were preparing to march on Selma, Alabama. Vivian was very angry at Dr. King and told him so in front of everyone. She said, "Dr. King, I think we need to shoot the white people because they just don't get it." Vivian said that Dr. King walked over to her, held both of her hands and looked her intently in the eyes and said, "If we follow your way," he said, "then everyone dies. You have to trust us that the way of peace is the way to life for everyone." So where is hope today? Hope is found in the fact that we, aliens and exiles, strange people who follow Jesus, have been set free from sin. We have been forgiven and made clean, and given the knowledge that no matter what anyone says about us, we are all equal, and beloved in the sight of God. We have been set free so that we do not have to be right all the time. We do not have to fight back and return evil for evil. Like Jesus, we can entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly. We are not the judge. We have been set free from judging and set free to love. And we have hope because we know that in the end, no matter the cost to ourselves, the love of God wins. We have a shepherd who has led us there, and we can place our hope in that. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.